Welcome to Insider Insights, where we dive into hot topics facing the financial services industry. We're excited to have with us Pat Leary, former Corporate Vice President of Workplace Benefits Research at LIMRA and LOMA. And today, we're diving into a topic that's quickly becoming a top priority for employers, brokers, and benefit providers alike: absence and leave management. It's no longer just a compliance checkbox. It's a strategic challenge and a massive opportunity. In this episode, we'll unpack new research from the 2025 Harnessing Growth in Workforce Benefits study, revealing how leave programs are evolving, why employers may be underestimating their complexity, and what brokers are seeing on the front lines.
So as we did our research of both employers, of the employers, employees, and brokers, a number of takeaways. Number one, leave management demand is rapidly growing. Second, leave types, they're just multiplying. Next, and this was really interesting, confidence levels are mismatched across the employers and the brokers, and we'll touch on that. Next, employers are willing to pay more for integrated experiences around absence and leave management services. But this growing complexity, it's going to drive higher leave outsourcing in the future. And last, it's about show me. Capabilities matter and are now show me. But one of the things that came through loud and clear is everything around absence and leave is just consuming so much resources, right? It's consuming mind share, right? And so it's almost like taking away from conversations around around other benefits. And so that this next horizon is really emerging and has now become a burning platform. So let's talk a little bit more about each of those takeaways. So the need for leave management and related services, it's rapidly growing, right? It's really driven from a couple of different perspectives. There's definitely a desire for employers, especially in a hot labor market, to address a wider and more contemporary range of needs. As we all know, there's just a lot of regulatory and compliance issues around it as more and more states are rolling out mandated leave requirements, if you will. But here in our surveys, we found that 38% of employers, they've seen an increase in absences since implementing a mandated leave program. And that number jumps to 48% among larger employers. We asked in our worker survey for those who did experience a leave, you know, how did they find the process of applying for the leave, filling out the paperwork, the whole return to work experience, kind of soup to nuts, your experience. And just 24% found that leave experience to be very easy. So there's really significant room for improvement when it comes to the worker experience around absence and leave. And we also found, this is from the employer survey, that more than half of employers said they'd purchase insurance to provide paid family leave coverage in those states where it's allowed. So those who said definitely, another 35% said maybe, right? So leave management demand is absolutely growing. And so another thing that we explored is, okay, what, trying to get our arms around, okay, what types of leaves are employers looking at here? But with the changing workforce and just the evolution of demographic trends, social trends, et cetera, employers are really trying to offer diverse offerings when it comes to leave to meet the needs of the changing workforce, right? You look at paid caregiving leave. So we see a lot of that, you know, with people who have caregiving responsibilities, particularly for parent, you know, elder parents. But some of the other things that we see there really expanding around, you know, to try to address, you know, a wider range of leaves to meet the needs of a more contemporary more contemporary workforce. But even, you know, you look at some that are more that are, you know, more employers currently offer, right? Paid parental, maternity, et cetera, in company-sponsored paid family or medical leave. So within the next 3 to 5 years, just about all employers are going to be offering these types of leave. So think about that, the challenges that has, you know, for organizations trying to manage that. And how does that, for folks in the audience, how does that change your conversations with your clients around leaves and what they're trying to do with their employees? But just to peel back the onion a little bit more, we see particularly among small employers, right? So small employers that, you know, just when you look across the range, they tend not to offer currently as many leave options as others, as the larger firms. But we find that more than half of small employers are planning or considering to offer 3 or more additional leave offerings in the next several years. So 56%, they're planning or considering offering a company-sponsored paid caregiving leave. Another 49% say they're going to be offering a non-FMLA medical leave benefits. We see that 58% of employers, are looking to offer paid leave benefits that create parity for all workers, regardless of geography. So with each state having different requirements and different nuances to their plans, when an employer is operating in multiple states, this creates a challenge for how do we create parity, or do we offer different types of leave. So those for those employers that do tend to have operations in like 5 or more states, they're trying to do something a little bit more unique. 37% are saying that they're considering changing their paid leave policies to accommodate intermittent or reduced schedule leaves. So that's, you know, another challenge that employers face. What happens if you have someone for one event, call it, but it's like a recurring condition, right? How do you manage that? How do you manage schedules around that, right? So right now, 59% currently accommodate intermittent. And of those who do not, it's the 37%. So there's, you know, the general theme here, it's just a much more complex environment for both leave and absence management for the employers, the workers, and all the parties involved in the ecosystem. But one thing that we did a double take on as we were looking at it, we're like, huh, boy, this is surprising. Employers may underestimate the impending challenges around leave and absence management. And so when we surveyed employers, we found that 79% expect administering their company's overall leave management program will not be very or extremely challenging 3 to 5 years from now. Most of them were like kind of in the middle. Yeah, we know it's going to be tough, but they really underappreciate the complexity, right? They don't know. That was another thing in our survey when we were cleaning the data, where the way some employers were answering their questions were like, no, that can't be right. You have a mandate. You got to do this. So we picked up on that in our research, just a lack of understanding and appreciation. We had a similar question that asked about their confidence in their ability to comply with the legal and regulatory and legislative requirements. And the number was almost as high, saying, yeah, we got that. We're pretty good, right? So, but when we talk to the brokers, they're like, oh boy, this is not going to be easy, right? Employers, they're really going to struggle, right? If they're saying if they have a decentralized, like a multi-state employer, I'm scratching my head on how I can comply and limit my exposure with the rate of change. You know, you have employers that are doing this on spreadsheets, on post-it notes, the small employers, oh my God, how do they do this? And like in the middle, I like that one as well, like from a broker's perspective and conversations, you know, how can I possibly spending 50 to 60 hours a week focusing on healthcare? And now I also have to focus on absence and leave management. So it was interesting, this disconnect. So we see this, that there's a huge education process that's at play here. But the brokers definitely see that as a burning platform. But you know, as we look at the different types of leave, and one of the things we asked about was around mandated paid PFML, right? It's a mouthful there, right? So employers have a couple of options. They can have a public plan administered by the state, or they can have a private or voluntary plan managed by a carrier or a third party, and that could be fully or self-funded or self-insured, I'm sorry. And then we asked companies, you know, why would your company choose to offer that private or voluntary plan managed by a company? A lot of different reasons. I think we had an option. They could check off like three of the top ones here, but a less burden on internal staff. It's more cost effective to achieve better integration. I'm going to come back to that one. To achieve more consistency across state lines. They don't have the in-house expertise, but that's some of the things we're hearing. It's like, boy, this is gonna take a lot of resources. Is that the best use of our resources? There's a lot of moving parts to this. So do we have that in-house expertise from compliance, administrative, and other factors that are related to this? How do I create a streamlined, you know, point solution around it? But this was, you know, interesting when we hear this a lot about, you know, to get that integration with employer-sponsored disability, particularly STD and other paid benefits, right? So they want that kind of unified experience. So we asked companies, we gave them an option, you know, a little question here that we wanted to get. So say your company was selecting a carrier for a new disability benefit, which of the following would you choose? A carrier that provided an integrated program along with the disability for a higher price, or a carrier that provided the best value product without an integrated real-time absence management system? And so check it out. What we found is that particularly among mid-size and large employers, we found that they are willing to pay more for that integrated experience, right? And one of the things that we also surfaced here is about, because of the growing complexity and the growing number of it, there's a greater desire for outsourcing. But I think the takeaway here is that in the next few years, more will be outsourced for the most part than those that are not outsourcing these leaves. So who are they going to be working with? We see a number of different options between the carriers, third-party administrators, the payroll providers, right? So again, we there's a lot of uncertainty and a lack of knowledge. So they're probably the last person they had a conversation with, right? And what are their most important capabilities? So this common theme, managing compliance, HR systems integration, being able to issue payment, right? So a lot of these things to help them streamline and administer the process here. But the brokers were very hypersensitized and hyper-focused around this and on the capabilities. But, you know, like the quote, the employer wants to see that experience, not just for the employer, but also the employee. What's that unified experience, just so I can manage it and understand it, right? And the less steps and more seamless is a real game changer. I'm seeing so much more leave and absence cases in the last 12 months than I've seen in the prior 9 years of my career. So this, what was once a weak signal, has really moved to the forefront as a burning platform that our industry is looking to solve for.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Insider Insights. As we've heard, absence and leave management is no longer a nice to have. It's a critical part of the employee experience and a growing area of investment. From the rising demand for integrated solutions to the disconnect between employer confidence and broker concern, the message is clear. The next horizon in workforce benefits is here, and it's complex, personal, and full of potential. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And check out LIMRA.com for more insights from the Harnessing Growth Study. Thanks for listening.